Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.
53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Barbara and Declan join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to
you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And here's your first question. I'm 50 years old, single man, never married, self-employed mechanic living in rural Ireland. I joined a dating website and have had very little luck with it. Most women I email never reply or even look at my profile. About a month ago, I got a message from a 32-year-old Filipino girl presently working in China. I thanked her for her message, but told her I would not be travelling to meet her anytime soon, but we could do some emailing anyway. She said she was happy with that. I asked her why email a man so much older. She replied she prefers mature men. Once before, I met a Filipino girl who told me the same thing. Anyway, to fast forward a bit, she said she wants to move to Ireland for work and hopefully build a relationship. She sees no future at home or in China. Her wages are very low. She asked me to pay her flight and expenses and pay me back in time. She'd pay me back in time. She said I don't have to send her a payment, just pay her travel agent. Now, we did look up this particular travel agent, and apparently they offer deluxe and exclusive travel packages to Europe. So, you know, no rubbish here. Anyway, he goes on. It sounds to me like it's all genuine, but some part of me is telling me to say no. Would I be a big fool to not go along with something that could lead to something special? I'm not getting any younger. I know a lot of men, if they saw her picture, they would not hesitate to send the money. I think sometimes we need to take ourselves out of our comfort zone. For me, this is it. I've lost some sleep over it. Should I pay her visa fees, pay for her flight? Can they be paid separately? I've tried contacting Irish Filipino societies but got no replies. Has anyone else been through this? I've heard the stories of con men and some con women. We'd love to hear some good advice.
Oh God.
Oh, here's Barbara with some good advice.
Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Well, the first thing is that, you know, I mean, when I read this letter, my first reaction was I felt like giving this guy a hug, because he sounds like a nice guy.
He does.
And you can kind of hear the fact that he's lonely and he feels he's getting older and he really would like a relationship. And all of that is absolutely understandable. And I also think it's commendable that he thinks we all need to push ourselves out of our comfort zone, because I think as you get older, that is something you need to do, and it's harder to do, but I think you do need to do it. So all of that is good. But this isn't the way to do it. You know, it really isn't the way to do it. And I think that the sensible bit of him knows that this is not a good idea whatsoever. I mean, you know, to state the obvious, like, number one is we don't know if the picture that he's looking at is the actual person who is
indeed
communicating with him.
Yeah.
It could be some fat old guy, mightn't be your woman at all. Secondly, even if she was kosher and she did arrive in Ireland, him having paid all the money, which is kind of unlikely, but even if she did, there's no guarantee she'd continue or have a relationship of any description with him anyway, or pay back the money. But the chances are that he'll pay all that money and he'll never hear or see from her ever again. So
yeah, I think the first part, there's two different issues here. If you could find a way to determine whether or not the person is a genuine real person, no, I'll just say a real person, because genuine is arbitrary, but if there's a way you could find out whether the person was real and there was a genuine interest in coming to Ireland and that, all that kind of stuff, that's completely separate to the whole, like, you know, this, some, as you say, some fat guy in his mom's basement, like, you know, cranking out emails from around the world saying, you know, hi, I'm a hot Russian, you know, whatever.
Send me your money.
Because that's the bit. I mean, obviously, those people, all those scams, the Nigerian princes and the, you know, whatever, they're all looking for ways to, I mean, scams work because people are vulnerable, and the reasons why people are vulnerable is because either they you know, you push their greed button, or you push their vulnerability about loneliness or sex. And in this instance, I think this guy sounds to me like he's wanting to see a reality that's not actually there. And that's the bit, maybe, that if he's aware of that and he's conscious of that, then he can actually handle the situation better. I don't believe it's true. I'm a cynical.
You don't?
No.
No, well, neither would I.
No.
And I think it's too risky. I mean, you know, on the very slim chance that this is a real Filipino woman who really would come to Ireland.
Well, yeah, and somebody's texting a very good point. You know, has he, he's never met her. Has he even video called her? He doesn't mention that. He only mentions emails. No. If there'd been a video call, you would know, okay, well, that's the person. That's what she looks like. She does exist in the real world.
But I think also assuming that even if he did video call her, even if she turned out to be the woman whose photo he's seen, even if she did come to Ireland,
it doesn't mean
mean that there's going to be a relationship.
Yeah, but you know, so, that's something that there is often a scenario, and we have to be very careful about that, because the kind of privilege of living in this part of the world and other people want to come and blah, blah, blah. There are genuine people who are going, oh, just get me out of where I am right now, and I'm into it, and I want this, and they're willing to marry some rich American president in order to do,
Yeah, it's because there may be an element of she's talking herself into that as well. She's convincing herself she prefers mature. Like the thing, he's heard this before, that, Filipino women prefer mature men.
No, they love them.
Men.
They're mad about them. They're mad about
them. If you're in your 20s in the Philippines, you can't get a woman for love nor money.
Yeah. There's too many. The cards are stacked in one way here. And I just think it is far too much money for him to be taking a chance financially. But also, he's going to be so emotionally invested in it as well.
Yeah.
You know, that it would be an awful battering to take. And I think that, there's a very slim chance that this is kosher. Generally, it probably isn't. And so he's got to stand back, put his money back in his wallet, and just, the dream that he has of the pretty Filipino young woman coming to Ireland, setting up home with him and living happily ever after is probably not going to happen. So I think take your money and go book yourself a nice cruise or a holiday somewhere, and you never know who you might meet. But please don't be passing it over to somebody in a foreign country and you don't know who they are or what the story is.
Carl says, why can she not at least pay for one and he could pay for the other? I doubt it would be that expensive to go halfway. This could be the love of his life. Why not take the chance? Because he's going to lose all his money and feel humiliated.
Money. Yeah.
But it's not the love of your life if you've never met that person. I mean, what you're in love with is the idea of some vulnerable person from another country.
Dream.
It's a bit,
it's touch the dream of racism. In love with.
If he has the money to spend, then go to her first. Worst case, he has a holiday in the Philippines. True.
Well, that would be a better thing to do.
I must say the vast predominance of all the texts coming in are just, this is a scam. Not do it.
And we're sorry, but don't. But book yourself a holiday. Take the money and book yourself a nice holiday. My father-in-law met his current girlfriend on a cruise when he was in his 70s. So,
Cool. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Right.
Just saying.
A cruise to where? Was it kind of one of those sexy cruises that you heard about?
It wasn't a sexy cruise. It was regular around the Mediterranean cruise.
Right, okay.
With a regular company. Okay. On a regular ship.
Fine.
Doing regular stuff.
We've been waiting for you on board
right now. Sorry about
that now.
Yeah. Your eyes are twinkling away.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't one of them chemsex cruises that you hear about.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that.
That's my a different kind of cruising.
My son is 6 and goes on one or two play dates a week, like most kids these days. My closest friend of 15 something years has a son the same age as mine. Let's call him Joe. And they would have play dates quite often, depending on what they are doing together. My son last week said he doesn't really like playing with Joe. Says he's mean and controlling and won't let him do what he likes. He's refusing to go on play dates with him. I'm now stuck in the middle of my friend asking to arrange a play date and my son crying over the thought of playing with him. I've been lying to avoid having to tell her my son doesn't like her son. I mean, I can't really tell her the truth and that her son doesn't play fair. I have to support my son, so I really have no idea how to get out of play dates but try and maintain this friendship. What do I say to her?
Yeah.
Right up your alley now, Declan.
There we go, you have a lot of experience in this, Declan.
Bullying.
Play dates.
Yeah. I do, Like when I read this first, I was kind of thinking, oh, our poor little son is being picked on. And then I went, actually, no, I'm actually come down on the side of the maligned other kid.
Joe.
Joe. Joe's a brat and Joe's difficult or whatever. Or maybe he's not. And this mother is...
Could be her son.
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole point. Her, she's looking at this kid going, Mommy, I don't like playing with Joe. He's mean to me and he won't let me have all of the Lego and he won't let me drink all of his Coca-Cola and he won't let me do that. And, whatever his version of the truth is not necessarily the actual absolute truth. I think it's important that kids learn that there are some mean people in the world and they need to learn the skills to be able to handle them, because I remember being young myself, which was a very, very long time ago, but I do remember it. And there were a lot of people who I felt were antagonistic to me in some way. Because I was so beautiful and amazing. That isn't a joke.
And
that's the truth. Yeah, and really humble.
Yeah.
But you kind of go, oh, there was always a kind of a thing, but I want to get my own way. The kids won't let me have my own way. That sounds really dark, but that's not what I meant. But of course. But the thing about it is that, you know, your own version of reality is not actually the absolute version. So you got to go, my kid in this instance is telling me that he doesn't like playing with this kid for whatever reason. It's because it's an inter-child negotiation scenario. The kid might be a total whatever, but you need to put your kid in the situation where they stretch their boundaries.
I totally disagree. First of all, these kids are only six.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing what she said is she describes, the six-year-old described the other child as controlling. Really? At six?
Yeah. No, but that's not his language.
I know. Exactly. The other thing is about the play dates here, I think, are to facilitate the moms getting together and that the kids should be playing with each other.
Yeah.
So she's obviously there while the child is having the play date. First of all, you know, if her child is coming back and saying he doesn't like Joe, how is she unaware of that? How does she completely not know what's going on when presumably she's there at the same time? It's not like she's shipping her son out on his own to go and play with Joe. But I honestly think that kids, even at six, have a right to decide who they want as their friend and who they don't want as their friend.
Yes, they do. That's ridiculous.
You have no right to say, no, you're going to play with Joe because it suits me for you to play with Joe because I'm having coffee with his mommy. No, you don't.
But
if the kid doesn't like Joe, and you know, it could be because either of them are brats, but the kid is quite entitled to say, I don't want to play with Joe. I don't like Joe for whatever reason.
But nobody's actually saying that, Barbara. No, they're all hiding under the carpet.
The child is saying it. The son last week said he doesn't like playing with Joe.
And he said it to his mother, and they're saying it to themselves, but they're not actually bringing that truth into the world. They're
they don't need to bring the truth into the world. The mother needs to say to the little fella, let's call him Adam, and she needs to say to Adam, that's fine, if you don't want to play with Joe, that's perfectly alright, you don't have to go on any more play dates with Joe, and that's fine. And she needs to find herself a babysitter or some other way of meeting her mate that doesn't involve the child being
stuck
with Joe.
Okay, I get that, but I do think that, you know, let's call him Adam. If Adam turns to mom and says, I don't like playing with Joe, and mom doesn't turn around to Adam and say, okay, let's interrogate this and find out exactly what you're saying, then it just becomes this, it becomes a mood. And if you allow your children's moods to direct everything, you're actually setting yourself up.
But I think for you to expect that your child is going to get on really well with the child of your friend because it suits you is ridiculous. And
sometimes
we've all been there.
Adam
we've
has to suck it up.
No, sometimes Joe is entitled to pick who he goes with play. He has to put up with Adam at school. He has to put up with him in the playground.
No, Joe is the other way around.
Whatever. Yeah. Whoever he has to put up with. Anyway, he has to put up with a brat either in school or in the playground. He doesn't have to put up with him when he's on his own time, I don't believe.
If they know that for a fact, and if they know for a fact that the behaviour is genuine.
He's crying. The son is crying at the thought of playing with this other guy. Then he's entitled to put his foot down and say, it's making me unhappy, I don't have to do it. If he was saying, I'm not playing with anybody, then okay, you might have a problem. But he's entitled to say, I don't get on with him, I don't like him, and I don't want to play with him. That's perfectly fine. And she doesn't need to confront the other mother. She doesn't need to say, your child is controlling, or Joe says no, or Adam says, your Joe is a brat. She just needs to say, look, my Adam isn't really into play dates at the minute. He's going through a funny phase, that's all. And just let it drop. But I think you can't force your kid to go and play with somebody he doesn't want to play with.
No, I agree with that part, but I do think though you have to be careful about taking like a 6-year-old's version of truth and then turning it into like
if he doesn't want to play with him, he doesn't want to play with him, and he shouldn't have to play with him. End of story.
But the thing is, like, well, I mean, you're right to the extent the 6-year-olds, you know, this week he hates them and next week he'll be
best
friends
with
him.
Why would you let that interrupt your relationship with your friend?
But if this kid is crying at the prospect of going to see this kid, if the next time she forced him to do that, no one's going to have any fun.
That's
at that.
Not fair.
The kids aren't. Neither are the mammies. Because
and
this fellow's been clinging
onto
him.
And you your kids are going to get on with the kids of your friend just because it suits you. She can still see her friend, but she's going to have to make arrangements or see the friend when the kids are at school, or see her friend in the evening when she might get a babysitter or whatever else. So, you know.
I do think though, I agree with you, and I don't think anybody should be forced to do anything that you know, especially a child shouldn't be forced to do anything that they don't want to do. But sometimes children's comfort zones need to be expanded a little bit, and their ability to deal with people who may be not like doing something really bad to them, but just being a little bit confrontational. But it's a skill
that
kids.
I think they learn that at school, where they're put with people they don't have a choice over.
Yeah.
But I think being forced into a one-on-one play date with somebody you don't like is, you know, counterproductive. I don't think there's any.
I mean, they're only six.
Like this.
There are plenty of. Well, no. Yeah, it is.
Like this.
I didn't want to mention it. I told you, Sean.
I don't want to come here anymore.
She's a bully and she's mean and controlling.
Over like when they, controlling.
When they grow up, they will have to spend time with people they're forced to spend time with.
Yeah,
that's usually what marriage is about when you bring in in-laws and all that stuff. Right, how do I tell my friend to give me some space? We have been friends for more than 20 years. I love her to bits. However, lately, I'm feeling a bit smothered by her. We talk most days, but our family lives means we see each other every 2 weeks or so. I'm used to that. Over the last month, though, she's been constantly texting me, ringing me, has turned up at the house on random nights, unannounced, with a bottle of wine. I mean, I've 3 kids. I don't have time for this. My husband has even commented that she's around an awful lot lately, and he wouldn't notice a fly on his nose. I've asked her several times, has something happened at home? Is she okay? Is work okay? And she keeps it all very light and jokey and not really answering. I get the feeling she's distracting herself, but I'm getting all of her attention. If I'm to tell her to back off, I'd hate myself if I hurt her. I'm concerned by getting a bit stressed by it at this stage. Oh, something's going on here.
Yeah, that's a hard one. And I mean, clearly she feels, the woman who wrote in feels that there is something up with the friend, that the friend, something has happened. And the friend is needing her support or the distraction of her friendship or whatever. But she's asked and the friend has said, makes it all jokey and says that everything is okay. And, you know, the thing that I always think when something like this happens, especially when you have your own family, be it partner or partner and kids or whatever, is that if one of your friends is starting to behave in a way that's interfering with that, and when you've kids, like, routine is really important. So if somebody's knocking on your door with a bottle of wine unannounced and expecting that you can down tools and sit down and, you know, and have the bottle of wine and whatever banter she needs on a regular basis, you know, that's okay if it's a one-off and something has happened. I mean, obviously you'd drop everything and you'd be there. But if it's happening on a regular basis, you have to, and it can happen within your family as well. It can happen when your extended family kind of start to push into, you know, and affect your own family life. And the rule of thumb I always use is that, you know, no, my family comes first. My kids and my husband come first. So that if it's starting to interfere with that regularly, I have to be very clear, no, that comes first. But I think in this instance, because they're friends and she knows the friend very well, she's got to be very gentle in how she does it. But at the same time, if she keeps asking, look, is everything okay? And the friend isn't saying, there's very little she can do except for say maybe, look, why don't we go out, have a meal or have a coffee somewhere outside and try and get to the bottom of what's going on and gently kind of say to her, look, it's not great. Do you know, I hate to say no to you, but when you arrive with a bottle of wine, I'm trying to put the kids to bed, like I can't kind of entertain you. So, you know, and try and get to the bottom of what's happening. Yeah. But the kids do have to come first.
It's a weird one, though, because, I mean, I don't understand how somebody could show up at a household that's set up like that with children with a bottle of wine and not be aware of what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? So it seems to me like it's an actual...
Do you think there's an ulterior motive?
No, well, I just think that there's definitely... Like, I mean, if it's got to the stage where the woman whose house it is actually bringing up statements. Are you all right? Is everything okay? And the other person knocking them back. There's a certain level of
arrogance.
No, not arrogance. It's more like just dismissiveness that's going on there. That's very strange. That if I was to show up at your house with a bottle of wine, and I will. But if I did, like, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and you were to say to me, "Is everything okay, Declan?" And I was to go, "Ah, it's grand." Yeah. I would know by your asking me the question that something about the circumstance is not sitting very well. So.
Well, it doesn't sound like this is the friend is stupid or something. It's all of a sudden. So obviously something's seriously
happening
wrong.
And something up, and so somebody needs to go up a gear. Is what I'm saying. The kind of, is everything okay? We're working on.
But I think also, needs to be like, I mean, you know, upped. Again, I don't know what way the house is set up, but, you know, unless they live in a rather large house, maybe the husband's always around, and so that the friend doesn't feel completely free to explain whatever it is that's perhaps going on. So maybe to try and take it off site somewhere where maybe she would be freer to explain if there is a problem going on within her family, within her relationship, or within her job, that she might feel better able to express it. But the other thing is that, you know, it may be that, you know, sometimes people just get into a habit that they do it once or twice and think, oh yeah, this is great. Sure, I can call over to Barbara with the bottle of wine and she's grand. Even though Barbara's, you know, kind of spitting nails when you go, going, bloody hell, like, you know what I mean? There's 4 hours and now I'm all behind with this and that and the other, and the kids didn't go to bed till much later than they should have, etc., etc. So it could be just that simple. But I think she does have to be careful, because they.
Yeah.
The thing that's funny though is she said, we've been friends for 20 years. Lately, it's whether we talk most days, but our family lives.
Yeah, she kind of implies that she's a husband. She's got a family. Well.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Something's wrong.
So there is something up. Something's so wrong. I would go very gently.
Up a gear and just go, listen, what's the actual.
But go gently as well on it.
Just speaking of something wrong, and referring back to the email about the 6 year old who doesn't want to play with the other 6 year old, and he was called Joe in the email. Obviously, they changed the name because people are texting in and say, my son's called Joe. if you have a six-year-old son called Joe, that wasn't about your son. Because in real life, he's not actually called Joe.
All the Joes now have got...
Yeah, all the Joe... all the Joe parents.
All the Joe mammies. Daddies.
I'd have to sleep the night here.
Yeah, and I made up Adam as well, so it wasn't Adam.
Yeah, it wasn't Adam either.
No.
Yeah. They're both beautiful children in their own way.
Yeah, of course. In their own way. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.